This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful Saturday, what should be a beautiful Mother's Day weekend, and we salute all the mothers out there who are the unsung heroes in many ways in our families. We appreciate you. We love you. We want you to have a great weekend, and this is a great start. 412-928-9370. That's how we start the conversations here. Bob Pompeiani in the studio, along with Matty Harkins. Matty Ice, we call him. He's behind the glass. He could take your phone calls at 412-928-9370. Also want to remind you the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, SouthHillsKia.net. It has been an impactful week, even though we don't have playoff games to talk about. And boy, do I wish we had some of those. It's been 3 years without hockey. This is a good time if you're interested in hockey. I'm interested in all sports. I like to watch a lot. This is the time where you see night after night different kind of matchups, and they never take a day off. Whether it's the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs, there's always something, and it's always intriguing when the Penguins were involved in these things, these best of seven series, and the ebbs and flows, and we've seen them in different series so far this season as well. Like, for example, the Washington Capitals, after losing Game 1 to Carolina, came back tied 1-1. So that one heads now to Carolina. Vegas and Edmonton, they will now take place in Edmonton after the Oilers go on the road and beat Vegas 2-0 in that one. The last one, an overtime game, and Vegas really needed it, and they didn't get it, as Aiden Hill was beat by Leon Draisaitl on a 2-on-1 with Connor McDavid, who set him up. And, you know, last night we saw Dallas lose to Winnipeg 4-0, and Connor Hellebuck seems to have gotten his game back after it looked like he was falling apart in the first series. But that could be bad news for the rest of the NHL. So that's a good series to watch as well. And Florida, they needed badly a win at home against Toronto, which led the series 2-0, and they got it in overtime. Brad Marchand got the game-winning goal there. We'll get into all that stuff and more, but, of course, the big topics around here this week. Number one, the Pirates. Fire Derek Shelton. And the question always is, did they do enough? This is probably in the, you know, list of things I can come up for you that are the most blame aspects. I would say it always is the owner first. It's Bob Nutting. Second would be the GM. Third would be the manager. But the easiest move to make is the manager. And so that's what they did after a 12-26 start. And Donnie Kelly from Mount Lebanon, who's been a long time, one of those guys that I think really, you know, ends up being a manager because you see what he's done. He was never one of these guys who was going to lead the league in anything. He was a guy who scrapped his way into a 9-year career, worked hard to do it. He became one of Jim Leland's favorites, and that says a lot because Jim Leland can judge people very well, I think, in baseball. And so he's had a job with the Pirates as the bench coach. And you can argue, well, what's going to change? Because he was part and parcel to some of the decisions Derek Shelton has made. And I get that. But it's a new beginning for them and him, and we'll see what happens. And the question I will throw at you today is if Donnie Kelly has an impact on this team, and let's say they go 500 or above 500 the rest of the way, how much of a chance does he have getting the interim label removed and become the permanent manager at 412-928-9370? Jason Mackey had a chance to speak with Bob Nutting. He had some interesting things to say, I thought. One of them, I wish, would have been, are you planning to sell the team? I know the answer. I'd like to hear the and what his answer would be. But they're not going to sell the team. He's making too much money to do that. But he was asked about whether or not it went far enough, that Ben Cherington should have been included here. And his quote was something like, blowing things up after 38 games is not going to help us. Well, it's not this 38 games. It's 5 years and 38 games. And I think more than the manager, the general manager is responsible for this roster. And it's gotten, if not the same, worse over time. And this is year six. So maybe a full-fledged cleaning should have been the way they got about it. Bob Nutting seems to be late in making decisions. And sometimes it seems like it takes a whole bunch of fan disenchantment before he makes them. But this was something that had to happen. I thought it was going to be two for one there, but it wasn't. They did fire some people under Ben Cherington. So clearly they're not happy with how things are going. And even in a limited market where you don't have all the resources, you still can make things happen if you make the right moves. And I think over time they've not made the right moves, whether it's in free agency or drafting and developing. And especially offensively, they don't have many bats. So, you know, that's on Ben Cherington, not so much Derek Shelton. And I know he's a hitting coach, but still, the bottom line is it's roster composition. There's only so much I think you can do as a manager with roster composition. Derek Shelton could have done more, sure. I wish him well. Really top-notch guy, and I hope he'll get another job in baseball somewhere. I don't know about managing, but he'll get another job. Want to hear your thought on the Pirates, and you know they got a win last night over a rejuvenated Atlanta Braves team, one that started 0-7. They're now 18-20, and they have too good of a team to be buried like that. They're going to come back. This will be a tough two games over the weekend. It's a 4-0-5 start today. Love to hear your take on that. Also, George Pickens was traded, and I really thought that was a little bit of a surprise for me. Not because he was traded. I thought he would be at some point. But once the draft came and went, he wasn't traded. So I thought, okay, now they're going to try to see what you got with Metcalf and Pickens together. And I was kind of interested to see this. Knowing that it's Pickens last year, knowing that he has every reason to try to put up big numbers, knowing that there's 100 million reasons why he should play and be motivated and take advantage of DK Metcalf on the other side. But he was traded to Dallas, and we'll see what happens. This is one of those things you evaluate now. You may say it's addition by subtraction, but if he has a good year down there, you may have a different take on this. 412-928-9370. Then there's the case of being back to where they were, which is one big-time receiver and a lot of guys in that wide receiver room who are not necessarily number twos, and they need to find a number two. Alan Lazard's name's come up. There are free agents out there. There are guys, and I'm sure they'll bring somebody else in along the way. It's still very early in the process. The other thing that happened this week was Mike Sullivan. We knew that the firing happened. What we didn't know is where he was going to go. We had a pretty good idea that it was going to be the Rangers because of his relationship with Chris Drury. And so he signs the biggest contract in NHL coaching history. Those two have a relationship that goes back to when Drury played under Sullivan, who was an assistant coach at the time with the Rangers. So that's where it started. It's gone into international competition. Now the Drury is the GM of not only the Rangers, but he was involved in, of course, the Four Nations for Team USA. And that's where Mike Sullivan was the head coach. So they go back a long way, and that seemed to be the way to go here. But there's a lot of pressure when you have to coach in New York. No question about that. They got a pretty good roster, and for the difference, biggest difference for Mike Sullivan, he's going to have Igor Shesterkin in goal. There's no questions about who's the goalie and how long do you have to wait for the next one to come, and will Tristan Jarry be better? Will they keep him? What do they do? There's no uncertainty there. You have Shesterkin. You have a veteran team now. They're not as young as you would like to see, and I'm not sure what they have in their system. But Artemi Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, Adam Fox on the blue line is very good. You have veterans like Vincent Trocheck, Chris Kreider, and JT Miller, who, by the way, this Tuesday will be playing at Quicksilver in a U.S. Open qualifying opportunity. He's that good of a golfer. Tiger Woods' son, Charlie, by the way, did not make it in the U.S. Open qualifier. He fell short once again. Tough thing to do. You got to grind your way through that. It's a lot of tough golf in a limited time frame. You got to play a lot of holes and you're up against some of the best in the country. There were 10,280 people who signed up legitimately to try out for the U.S. Open to get a spot in the field. Not easy to do, but JT Miller will give it a shot here coming up. We'll see how that goes. 412-928-9370 is number. Want to hear from you. I keep it at open lines all the time. Love to mix it up. And let's start with my old stomping grounds in Hopewell Township. We have Don on the line. What's up, Don? How are you?
Good, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question, and it's kind of an unusual one. Currently on the Pirates 26-man roster, is O'Neill Cruz the only player who's not fluent in English?
I'm sure there are others on there. I'm not sure how many. There are a lot of guys. I mean, I think O'Neill Cruz can communicate, Don. He just that he defers to have someone with him just in case it gets a little too complicated. So, I'm sure there are others on there. I haven't really analyzed how many speak English or not, but it's more than him.
Is it your impression that when the first and third base coaches are talking to him, that he understands what they're saying?
Yeah, I think it's a universal language in baseball. You know, you could figure that out without having to speak the language. You know how things work.
Okay.
I do. Someone asked me about Cruz earlier today, and I just want to, you know, it's interesting. He's only making $745,000 this year. You have two guys, he and Skeens, both making under $1 million. That was the reason why I think the Pirates made their biggest mistake in not going out heavily in the free agent market and come up with some bats to help this group. O'Neill Cruz has a couple of more years. He'll get an arbitration, free agent in 2029. So the numbers will keep going higher, and they should be. He's off to a pretty good start.
Abilities. He's unbelievable, and I wish we would lock him up now.
Well, they could if they wanted to do that, but he may be resistant to it. It depends on the money. But thank you, Don. I appreciate the call. You can say that about Skeens, too, but that'll be a fruitless effort, I think. He knows that his best bet is getting through the time here and then going to free agency and see what that offers. The Pirates might likely trade him before then and get some draft equity or players who can certainly come up here and help now, although it's going to be too late to match him up with Paul Skeens. And again, that's what I thought once they had him up here last year, that this offseason was going to be filled with big-time offensive names coming to Pittsburgh. And when I say big-time, I'm not talking about $300 million players. I'm talking about $15 to $25 million a year players. There are a lot of them out there you can get. Matt in Greensburg joins us right now here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Good, thanks. Everything's beautiful today.
Yeah, right. Hey, the Ben Cherington interview, the press conference, whatever, was terrible. You know, saying it's just as much on him. Everyone knows this. You know, everyone knows this.
He said it starts with me. Well, then why is he still there?
Well, I have a feeling it's because we're entering his season, which is draft trade deadline. But
and that's a question, Matt. I mean, he has not done a very good job at that so far. And do you trust him to do it again?
I will say this. He has done a pretty decent job at drafting. I know he missed on Davis, but
I'm not going to rule that out totally, but you're right. So far, he has.
With Jones and Bubba and Skeens, you know, Skeens was can't miss. But this is what I want to ask you. Is this the guy? I mean, Shelton firing was his last chess move. Okay, now he's going to get Horwitz back, Gonzalez back, Bubba will be up, so the team could look better. Okay, but is this the guy that has to know that he's in his last year if he fails, making a panic trade in July? Because I don't know. I mean, it's either he has the job or he doesn't, and I don't want a guy that is on the hot seat starting to make panic trades that are trying to win right now immediately, short term. And I think he's in like a no-win situation. He's going to get fired, or he's either going to make a trade that maybe salvage, maybe looks good right now, maybe next year, and then just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In order to salvage his own job. But I wonder where they're going to be at a trade deadline. If they're out of it, they're not going to make, and I'm sure Bob Nutting won't allow that to, at least he shouldn't,
no,
if that
but
were
I
the
could
case.
No, but a guy like Mitch Keller, I guarantee half dozen to a dozen teams are calling. It's a very good contract, and he's a very good number three starter that a lot of teams would want. I just don't know, like, what is he going to do, you know what I mean, aside from the draft. Like, I think he's a good guy to make draft picks. Developing, no. I mean, he absolutely botched the Davis situation. So I don't know. He should be gone. I understand why he's kept around, because like this is his time right now. I mean, he's going to make a top 10 pick here in another month. So,
yeah, I think it's a difficult situation to be in, Matt, because if you allow him to go through this draft, now some of the people under him have already been dismissed. So I wonder about what's going on over there. And if he's allowed to do that with this draft, it's more difficult even the other way. If you say, all right, we're going to get rid of him, and now you're entrusting someone with, you know, and you may not get the right guy there either because you're rushed to get somebody. I'm not sure who would run that draft if he's not here either.
And you asked the question, if he's allowed to do that. Well, if we're even asking that question, then he should not be here, right?
it makes sense to ask the question. You know, I mean,
yeah, and now we're in this situation where it's like we have a lame duck manager. Maybe they bring him back next year, Kelly. But like, where are we right now with Ben Cherington? It's like, does he make the draft picks? Does he not? Like, if you fire him, then it's like, now who do we have to rush?
Right. And then you rush into a bad choice also. So most likely he'll be here throughout the rest of this season, and they'll see what happens after that and move on. I think there can't possibly go for year 7. Out of what was supposed to be a 5-year plan, which is going backwards.
You would be surprised.
That would surprise me. At some point, that has to change. And, you know, with regard to Henry Davis, by the way, I think they should give him a bigger runway the rest of the season. There's no reason at this point not to.
He needs to play 3 or 4 days. He's getting matinee starts, okay? You know, you're down 2 first basemen now. Can Joey Bart pick up a first base glove and maybe get Davis 3 to 4 starts behind the plate? Maybe a start in DH, like... He's getting 4 at-bats a week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He needs to have more than that if they're going to have some sort of determination. You have an entire rest of the season to figure out guys who would possibly be your core next year. If they don't play them on a regular basis, I'd be disappointed. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. We have open lines until 1 o'clock, so call. Air your opinions. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KDPomp. As the Pirates get ready for game 2 of their series against the Braves, we also have some very interesting NBA and NHL series I want to get into. But what about George Pickens? What did you think of the trade? Do you like the move? Do you not like the move? What do you think happens next with the Steelers? Who do they bring in? And do you think Aaron Rodgers from afar has some input about what's going on, even though he hasn't officially signed anything? Love to hear from you on that as well. 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching. Phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to remind you, the Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for the Youth Baseball and Softball Showcase, which is presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, listen up. Send an email to the station here at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. You can get all the details you need at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day, as well as Number One Cochrane. Ride in style and go one better with Number One Cochrane. And tune in to the Number One Cochrane Sports Showdown every Sunday night, KDK TV. We talk about all the hot topics in Pittsburgh. Also want to thank Shendarovich, Shendarovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet, as you know. 412-928-9370. We've talked about Pirates. I want to get your take also about George Pickens and the trade that the Steelers made to Dallas. He goes to a similar position in Dallas where he has C.D. Lamb as the number one, much like the Steelers would have Metcalf here as their number one. He'll be a number two, but how effective can he be and what will be a contract season for him? One of the reasons why I was kind of thinking after they went through the draft and didn't make a trade of George Pickens, they would keep him, was that they could maybe buck what the trends that they saw with George Pickens being immature, and he would understand for one final year, man, this is your chance. This is your chance to make the numbers you need to get the contract you want. But they apparently thought that wasn't the way to go. Now, they've been talking about potentially trading him with other teams well before the draft. It never happened. They didn't draft a wide receiver, which to me was another clue why they were going to keep him. And then all of a sudden, they trade him. Now, they have options here. There are a lot of veteran guys you see out there who are available, like Keenan Allen. You know, I don't know. You know, he had a better year than George Pickens last year, though, but he's up there in age. You can make a trade. Alan Lazard seems to be out of New York, even though you have to make a trade to get him. But the other question I wonder is, how much input do you think Aaron Rodgers has, even though he's not here? You know, he obviously talks to the Steelers, and maybe he has some thoughts about who he'd like to play with. I don't know. That's just one of those things that you have to consider, given the fact that they traded him after the draft, which was a little bit surprising to me. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Eli in Uniontown. Hello, Eli. Welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show on this beautiful Saturday. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Thanks
for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was just listening a little bit earlier, and they were talking about, obviously, there's not too much of a big change, you know, with firing Sheldon as far as players go. But a big shift that I want to see and that we apparently saw last night was with the fans, because obviously nobody wants to go to a ball game and boo their home team the whole time they're there, and that seems to be what we're doing. So if all the firing does is change the momentum and the emotions in the dugout, I think it, you know, that's worth a couple, you know, maybe even 5 to 10 games increasing throughout the rest of the season.
Well, sure, you don't want to see that. You didn't hear any sell the team chants last night, but it is one game and one game only.
I
think Donnie Kelly has a different personality. I think it's one that could help this team. We're going to see how they react to him. You know, we get into this debate all the time. How much is a manager worth to a team in terms of wins per year? Everyone you talk to has different feelings, but most of people will agree that it's 3 to 5 wins, maybe a little bit more than that, but you got to have the roster to back that up. The roster hasn't changed. The manager has, although Don Kelly was his right-hand man in the bench. You know, he was the bench coach, which meant that he knew of these decisions. He was part of the decision-making for them. So I to answer the question, how much really changes, I don't know if it's going to be all that much, other than people understand this is a new start for him. They want to play for him. We'll see what that means.
Totally agree.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it, Eli. I hope the fans, it's a nice day. Baseball's still a fun thing. I love to get to the games as best I can. I still enjoy baseball, and I like watching other teams as well. You know, I want to see the Pirates do better like all of you do. But at the same time, I'm not going to totally not show up because of whatever you may feel about it. It's a good afternoon out if you're looking to entertain the family. Nothing wrong with that in my view. Let's go to Troy in Mount Washington. Troy joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Troy.
Bob, what's up, brother? How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I got a quick comment on George Pickens and then a question for you if you could rank these things for me. But George Pickens, I love that the trade was made now. I hear a little bit on the fan here and there about, you know, maybe we should have waited until the deadline and kept him around, and maybe, you know, someone would have got injured and we maybe could have got more for him. I just think that if you go into a season with that guy in your locker room and maybe you start off bad or he starts off with a bad attitude, not only because that could that affect your locker room for the rest of the season, but he could actually hurt his trade value to where maybe he showed his face a little bit more and somebody doesn't even want to give up a third round pick for him. So I really like the timing of the trade. I don't think they got what they wanted on draft day. They waited it out and got a third rounder, and I'm completely fine with that. Now, a quick ranking for me. At the time of when they got fired, can you rank for me who deserved it most at that time? Matt Canada, Sullivan, and Shelton, 1 to 3.
Canada 1, Shelton 2, Sullivan 3.
Okay, now, based off of the people that they had above them that were kind of, you know, control you, a lot of people would say that Shelton was kind of hampered by Sherrington, that Canada was kind of hampered by Tomlin and what he wanted to do with his offense. And then Sullivan was kind of hampered by the trades and the acquisitions that the Uppers made. Out of the three guys that were above them, who do you think hampered each of those guys the most?
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's Shelton and the people above him. You know, first of all, Canada had more talent to work with. I think Sullivan has more talent to work with. Shelton didn't. And he was the guy in charge of trying to make something out of it when you didn't have the right ingredients to make the proper meal. So I'm going to go.
Do you think that Sullivan, I agree with Sullivan's talent, but in retrospect, looking at it, do you think that the talent that he had fit the game plan of how Sullivan wanted to play hockey?
No, but I also think that some of those guys, he kept stressing defense, and that's one thing, regardless of how good or bad you are offensively, if you bring defense to the table, you could be effective. A lot of the guys, that message wasn't getting through. So, yes, at times he didn't adjust to what he had on his roster. I think that, you know, and the game itself. Back in 16 and 17, Mike Sullivan was the guy who was faster. His team was faster. They constructed that team to be faster. They had third line and fourth line right. contributions. That was deeper team. They could beat you in a lot of ways. That's not what they had right now, so you had to adjust to it. So that matchup, you know, just, you know, kind of dissipated as the years went on. I think Matt Canada just, you know, he didn't have – that was a bad hire to begin with. And that's Tomlin's hire. I thought he was a guy who was really not ready to handle the NFL at that offensive coordinator position. Had 1 year here in Pitt, and that was pretty much it. Got fired after that at LSU. And, you know, bottom line is he just wasn't ready for it, so that was a bad hiring. So thanks for the question. I think it was
Bob,
interesting.
Real quick, if I could, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about basketball while I have you on here, because you're
yes.
the only guy that talks it. Right now, with what we got left, could anybody that's, you know, just a fan of basketball itself not be rooting for the Pacers versus the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, what else do you want to see out of the rest of the season in basketball?
All right, Troy, thank you for the call. First of all, I think the Pacers played a pretty good two games in Cleveland. I think Cleveland's still going to win. They're getting healthy now. They won last night, so that's a 2-1 series. I want to see Cleveland. My prediction was Cleveland-OKC, and that may not be what the NBA wants either. If you want big markets, okay, but sometimes you can't control that. The two best teams this year in this sport were Oklahoma City and Cleveland. Now, you'd like to see Golden State get back there a little bit because of Steph Curry, but he has a left hamstring issue. He may not play for a week. Minnesota should win that series because of it. Boston, man. What a mistake it was to shoot so many threes in the first two games. The Knicks won the two games in Boston. Now they go to New York and MSG, where some of the seats are going for $50,000. Matt Harkins, I understand there are people who can pay that, but what sort of craziness when you see a seat for $50,000? Like, people are losing their minds to go to these games. If you could afford it, good for you, and I guess there's a market for that kind of stuff, but it's ridiculous how much tickets will go up.
Yeah, I'll just watch it at home in my basement.
Yeah, I mean, you got a better seat right then and there. If you want to be part of that, go right ahead. But and the rest of them, you know, I think Denver won last night in overtime against OKC, but that was a tough game. I think OKC will win the next one. Not by 43 like they did in game two, but they'll win the next one in Denver. Let's go back to the lines. We have Sean in Imperial. Hey, Sean, what's going on?
Hey, Bob. I appreciate you taking my call. Just wanted to bring up the topic of George Pickens. If you remember, I called in and talked with you maybe 2 weeks leading up to the draft, and we both agreed and kind of predicted that Pickens would be dealt. Just kind of reading the tea leaves and paying attention, we thought that was a real possibility. Now, I think we all might have thought it was more likely he would be dealt, you know, either right, you know, on draft night or around the draft to then replace him, which obviously didn't happen. Because we were mentioning guys like Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, Savion Williams from TCU, and obviously, you know, they didn't draft any receivers. So now that Pickens is dealt, and Omar has already left the light on to make more moves, if you heard his press conference, he said it's a long way from now to training camp. I wanted to see who you thought was a likely addition, either via trade or free agency, to give real production. Not Robert Woods or Van Jefferson depth, someone that's a real playmaker.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Sean. I think that's a good question. That's what we're going to be looking at. I think Alan Lazard makes sense just because he's kind of fallen out of favor in New York. He has a history with Aaron Rodgers if this thing finally gets done. And that's an interesting question all by itself. When does the Rodgers contract get done? When does he agree to this? I don't understand what the holdup is. He can do his private life stuff even after he signs and says, I'm going to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers for 1 year. But he hasn't even done that yet. And that makes me wonder. But as far as who would come in, Lazard's definitely somebody who you'd have to watch. I think Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, all those kind of guys. There, Gabe Davis was released by Jacksonville, and he had that 1-4 touchdown game in Kansas City in the playoffs. That was a breakout year, but I mean, he's fallen off. I'm not sure what to make of him. All of those guys are in contention. I think they will bring somebody in. I do really think that Austin's going to be a really good slot guy. He took major strides for me last year. I think Roman Wilson is another guy. They may not have drafted anyone this year, which I thought they would do, because they were going to trade Pickens. When they didn't make a pick, I thought they were going to keep Pickens. But Roman Wilson is somebody we don't know enough about. He missed the entire season last year. So that's something to watch for sure. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Carl in New Kensington before we take a break here. Carl, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Bob. How you doing?
I'm great. What's up?
I think about Don Kelly, I mean, the only thing that matters, I guess, is basically how does Paul Skeens, Brian Reynolds, and Neil Cruz like playing for him? Because I don't know if you can really judge it by record until like he gets players. And when it comes to the owner of like Bob Nutting, I think the only thing that's ever going to change would be if baseball had like a strong commissioner like Adam Silver. And there's like 4 or 5 owners in baseball that should sell their team because they're hurting the product of the league. I mean, they're hurting the image.
Yeah, but the league doesn't look at it that way, Carl. The league looks at it like it's a financial bonanza. They're making more money for a lot of reasons. Most of it is television and streaming-related issues, not to mention some of their other outside sponsorships they have. So they're all making money, and I think they kind of turn a blind eye to the teams that aren't. And listen, the easiest solution to change that, if you were Commissioner Strong, you'd push for a salary cap, a floor, and a ceiling. And they're not going to do that. So the players' union would make it difficult to do unless they're willing to, have a work stoppage. So it's going to be what it is.
I mean, one last thing I wanted to say is, I mean, they're making money, but right now, I don't know if you've seen these articles, but all these teams are losing their local TV contracts.
Correct.
So at some point, there's going to be a bubble that bursts, and they're going to start losing money over time because
regional sport networks are suffering. You're right about that, and so that's happening. But they're going to count on digital. They're going to count on streams. They're going to count on a lot of different things. I don't know how that all works out. I don't. It is something to watch, certainly. But to me, the best thing to do, like these other sports have, when you have a cap and a floor and a ceiling, you can make things at least on the surface equal, so that you put an emphasis on how much you spend, how wisely you spend, or how stupidly you spend, and it costs you. So, until that changes. And again, if they were so displeased with Bob Nutting and owners like him, then they would do something about it, and they're not.
Well, I'm just saying, like, another thing you can look at is, like, if you look at the franchise values, like, the baseball teams are, like, the slowest teams right now to grow in value over all the other sports are basically, like, growing each year by, like, 5 or 10% in value. And if you look at the Pirates' value, it's stagnated for, like, a decade. So another thing
it's a lot more than what he purchased, I can tell you that. So,
I know, but I, like peaked a couple years ago, but it hasn't really changed very much. But if you look at the NBA, those teams are like every single year, like Golden State now is worth $5 billion when, you know, like 10 years ago, they're only worth like $500 million.
Right. No, I get you. But I think that's also part of what you're describing here. But, you know, they're still making money. It'll go up gradually. It won't be as big of a leap as you see in the NFL, for example, or the NBA. But, you know, listen, Bob Nutting, he knows how to make money. I'm not going to dispute him on that. He's made a lot of it. So the question is, you have to be more responsible as an owner in a team like baseball. This is not running a Rite Aid. This is not running a CVS. It's not running just normal business. This is something beyond that, and there's an obligation that comes with it when you get taxpayer-funded stadiums and other things. You have to have an obligation. That's part of the deal. 412-928-9370. We have James. We have Bear. We have other lines. Call. We'll try to get you all in here before 1 o'clock. You still have over an hour to go right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
7 The Fan. Rolling along here on a Saturday, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani, Matt Harkins with you behind the glass at 412-928-9370. News out of the NFL, Derek Carr has decided to retire after 11 seasons. He's with the Saints, had some injury issues. So when you look at his career, pretty good stuff there. 455 win percentage, and that's not great. But the money is, if you calculate what he's made over his career, $205 million. In 11 years. Not a bad way to live in the NFL. You can be a backup for a long time and make a lot of money. I always look at Chase Daniels, one of those guys who made a ton of money, just and he never really played. So that's how that is. At 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go. It's James in North Carolina. Hello, James. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking my call. Real quick on George, Bud Pickens, he's an immense talent, but it was time, the effort, the drama, and who thought he was going to ball out this year alongside an actual number one in DK?
Well, I thought he might, only because he has one last chance to get the money he wants. And even as immature as he's been, and I guess you can't change what somebody is all about, and he's been that way for 3 years here, I get it. But I really thought that, I remember Bud Dupree went through, and not that he was anywhere near what we're talking about with George Pickens, but Bud Dupree did not have the most amazing start to his career. But in the contract year, he had his best season because I think he saw that this was the opportunity to get the money that he wanted to make, and he made it as a result. So I was thinking that this guy may just wake up and say, you know, it's 1 year, let's go and do this, and then the Steelers can move on from him, but benefit by the fact that they'd have a one and a two opposite each other, which makes it much more difficult for defenses to figure out, and it makes others around them better. That's what I thought.
That's logical thinking.
He doesn't think logically, I guess.
That's a very, very valid point, but personally, I'm tired of gambling on Pickens. I pull for him so hard year after year, he just never gets it together, and I understand why the stores are open. Anyway, that's not the
main
point.
He does, James? How about if he goes to Dallas and has a really good year because they double CeeDee Lamb, and all of a sudden he has 85 catches and 10 touchdowns?
Congratulations. He didn't want to be a Steeler, I guess. I don't care. He's not a Steeler anymore.
I got you.
I was looking at the future a little bit. Okay, let's say, God forbid, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. Okay, his money will come off the books next year. Does Cam have 2 years remaining on his contract? Do you know?
I think it's this year. I got to double-check that, but I think it was, this year.
Well, here's what I'm kind of looking at. It's kind of running around my empty head. Let's say Aaron plays this year and he's off the books. Let's say Cam is gone next year. He's off the books. Let's say we have a bad year, unfortunately, and don't win the Super Bowl, which I want us to do, but let's just say we don't. Wouldn't next year be the perfect time to move on from KJ Watt? I love him. He's my favorite player, has been for a long, long, long time. But if Aaron goes off the books, Cam goes off the books, wouldn't it be the perfect time to move TJ, get the quarterback with all the draft picks we have the money, even more assets, and make the big push for a brand new team?
That's certainly something that's come up. James, thank you for the call in North Carolina that they would do it now. But he has 1 year left on a contract. I mean, they could choose not to do anything this year with 1 year left and see what he does. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they will sign him. I think it'll be on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Sun is shining. Temperatures are going to get up into the 70s. It's a great Mother's Day weekend. All the best to all the great mothers out there who make a difference in our lives. And we certainly honor you this weekend. 412-928-9370 is the number. Joel Nelson is behind the glass as he joins us now. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show is brought to you by PNC. Make today the day. PNC Bank, virtual wallet. It's a great thing to have on your side to keep you straight financially. Then we'd like to thank Number One Cochran. Go One Better, Ride in Style with Number One Cochran and so many great Western Pennsylvania and Ohio now places they have. It's amazing. The inventory is getting better and better for Rob Cochran and all the good people at Number One Cochran. So check them out and watch our Number One Cochran Sports Showdown on every Sunday night, 11:35 on KDKA. And Shendorovich, and Fishman, you know those guys. They got your back, not your wallet. We're here talking sports at 412-928-9370. We've delved into the Pirates quite a bit with Donnie Kelly taking over there. They got a win last night, 3-2 over the Braves, who've been hot of late. Today they'll try to do it at 4:05. Dan Zangrilli comes up at 3 with a North Shore Tavern leadoff show. And then at 1 o'clock it's going to be Josh Roundtree who will be here. He does a great job on his show, and he has a lot of golf, I'm sure, in store in the next few weeks. And we're getting closer to the U.S. Open coming in here in June. And, man, that place is looking tremendous. So many things they've done differently. The rough is going to be high and thick, and it's going to be very interesting to find out what the winning score may be. If you look at over the years, I mean, it's gone from +5 was a winning score at one point, even par, -4. You can go all over the place. Weather will dictate. Hopefully it's a nice week of weather, and things will get very fast and furious at Oakmont. In the meantime, they're playing at the Philly Cricket Club this week, and Keith Mitchell's only had one win in his career. He's winning right now, but lurking are guys like Rory McIlroy, who next week at the PGA Championship is going to be the heavy favorite, I think, because he's won there four different times at Quail Hollow. 412-928-9370. We're talking Pirates, George Pickens, Mike Sullivan with the Rangers. Who do the Penguins pick? I want to get all your opinions in, so let's go. Beginning with Rob in O'Hara Township. Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm great, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
The purpose of my call is next year with the Steelers, we got a ton of draft picks and high picks. And you got to strike when the iron is hot. And next year is the perfect year to bring in a new coach and a GM. And I'll tell you the reason why. Tomlin and Kahn have not made successful picks. It's been a disaster. You can't let Tomlin attempt to build another team, have it fail yet again, and then bring in another coach and expect him to be successful with Tomlin's draft picks. We've waited 2,000 years for an American Pope. I don't think we should have to wait 2,000 years for a playoff win.
Well, they've at least gotten to the playoffs, I'll tell you, Rob. And when they've been there, they've been embarrassed at 73-0 first quarter combined score over the last six of those. So, listen, drafting has to be better. I don't think there's any question about that. We will find out about the 2024 draft, and thank you for the call in O'Hara Township. We have Troy Fautano. You're going to see him this year. Will he be what you thought he was going to be? He missed an entire season. Broderick Jones over on the other side, will he be what you expect him to be? So far at right tackle, he hasn't been. Zach Frazier was a good pick. Roman Wilson, we don't know. We're going to find out. They seem to be encouraged after last year missing most of the year and then falling out of favor. Peyton Wilson looks like a player. Mason McCormick, pretty good pick in the fourth round. He'll be one of your starters on that offensive line. Then they have Logan Lee and Ryan Watts. And Watts, unfortunately, career is over because of a terrible neck injury he suffered last year in one of our preseason games. Logan Lee's a big dude. We'll see what, you know, what can happen there. He plays defense. You'll get a chance to see him this year. The previous draft, you know, Broderick Jones first, Joey Porter second. That was a good trade by Khan. Keanu Benton is better in his first year than he was his second. Darnell Washington, Nick Herbig has found a place. And Corey Trice still on this roster, so that wasn't so bad. The one that's really bad, when you look back now, is 2022. With Kenny Pickett first, 20th overall, no good. That did not turn out. George Pickens now looks like that's not going to be a good pick, even though he showed some talent, especially in year two when he went over 1,000 yards. DeMarvin Leal was the third pick. He went backwards. Calvin Austin is a player, somebody who's going to be here. Connor Hayward mostly is a special teams player, gets in once in a while. Mark Robinson's still on the roster, and Chris Oladokun is not. I mean, if you go back to all of these drafts, they're going to be hits and misses. Claypool draft, not very good. Anthony McFarlane in that draft. I believe Kevin Dotson was in that draft. He's now with another team, but didn't do well until he left here. Antoine Brooks, Carlos Davis. So, yes, to your point, it has to get better. But, no, they're not going to make changes. He's signed. They're going to go with what they have, and we'll see. Now, they've set up shop so that they can be in a position to do a lot of things. Realistically, there's no way you get 12 picks who are all going to be on your roster. They know that, but that's what they have right now. They have three in the third round. They have two in the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds. They can do a lot of things, and a lot of this will start with where they finish. If they're not a playoff team this year, they're going to have a higher selection, and they're going to have to hit on this, whatever this pick is at quarterback, if they're going to make it, and I think they will make one. But we'll see how this year goes with specifically Will Howard. I want to see what he can do in the preseason and give you any indication that he could be one of those guys. I think Mason Rudolph, you know, he signed a deal that indicates he's going to be a backup. And, you know, Rodgers supposedly is going to be here. I wish that would just end one way or the other here. Just say yes, sign a deal, move on, and then we won't see you till training camp, but that's okay. 412-928-9370. Steven McCandless is next up. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. How are you today, Bob?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I wanted to talk about the Pirates, and more importantly, I read Jason Mackey's column last night, and I just get frustrated. I'm old school. I used to read the Post-Gazette. I used to read all the newspapers on a daily basis. But I was frustrated because I read it, and it left so much more questions than answers. I just want to know, you have the opportunity to talk to the owner, and you left so much on the table. Why not ask the owner what he thought about the so-called free agents who were signed? Was Tommy Pham? Was Frazier? How can you, ask the owner what? I realize we're only a month into the season, but what does he think about the free agents who were signed so far? I know he doesn't want to badmouth the team, but you have to look at it and say, up to that certain point, what are you getting out of the free agents? Do you think they should be signing a free agent that, God forbid, would hit a home run or two every month?
Steve, to your point more, I would like to know, what restraints did you put on your general manager?
He had so much money to spend.
Why did he end up signing the guys he did? And how much influence do you have on that? Why wouldn't you give him more of that opportunity?
I mean, especially when Nutting made the comment early in the season, I put the money on the table.
Yeah, I've given them all the resources they need.
Right, and I would have pounded that question repeatedly, saying, "You made that comment in early April. What are the resources that you provided? You have the third or fourth lowest payroll. You have a first baseman that's coming back hopefully in a few weeks. How many games has he played in Major League Baseball that led your general manager to believe that he could be a power hitter or at least a doubles hitter?"
And more on that is, you signed a guy who had a history of a wrist problem, and it became worse, you know. So,
yeah.
But as far as – and Steve, I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right on that. I would like to know more. I think Bob Nutting should be more transparent than not what he is.
I could care less about the bricks – and the incident with the the concession worker, that's bad. But I'm more concerned about the baseball on the field. And the final question I would have asked him, the general manager, his draft picks, the number one draft picks in, what is it, the 6 years he's been here, where are they? I mean, I know you have a catcher in Davis. If you're relying upon him, I think we're in big trouble.
Well, thanks, Steve.
Paul Skeen.
Yeah, I got to let you go. We got a lot of calls. I want to get to them, but you make some good points. And I would say that you're right. Offensively, they haven't developed any bats. Name one that really has developed here. They acquired Bart, which was one of the best things he did, Ben Cherington. But I would like to know, what are the guidelines? What do you tell him? How much money do you actually give him to spend, and what is he spending it on? There were reports it was more of a, you know, one of these things with metrics people, analytics people. I want to see people on the field. All that stuff, you can figure that out with less than, you know, 50 people in the background, all these guys coming from these schools who had major in computer awareness. I want guys who know baseball, guys who want to make use their eyes and their guts and what they see and they feel about somebody to make a pick like that. But regardless, I don't know if that happens or not. What I do want to know, and he should tell you how much. If he's going to say, if you give him the resources, what are the resources? How much? What were the directions you gave your general manager? That sort of thing. At 412-928-9370, let's go out to Mark in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hello, Mark. I don't think you can have a better day there than we do here.
It's pretty nice here, but it's always good to talk to you back in Western Pennsylvania. Two numbers that I'm going to throw at you that I think really sumped this whole week with the Pirates. Ken Rosenthal pointed out, since 2019, the Milwaukee Brewers have spent $200 million more in payroll than the Pirates, and they're a much smaller market size in terms of TV revenue and media revenue than Pittsburgh. The other one is, as you look at the Sacramento, Oakland, or Las Vegas A's, who were here in town last week to play the Marlins, you got Jack Wilson's son, you got Tyler Sogstrom, Nick Kurtz, and Lawrence Butler. They've all been drafted, developed, and in the big leagues in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can – John Fisher makes Bob Nutting look like a spendthrift. I mean, he's probably the worst owner in all of sports, the A's owner. But, I mean, you got to have the right people in the front office. When the Pirates were winning, Sid Thrift was pulling off incredible trades, bringing back Bobby Bonilla, trading Tony Pena for Andy Van Slyke. Back in the old day, Howie Haake was finding prospects. He found Roberto Clemente in the Rule 5 draft. I mean, it all boils down to the general manager in the front office. And if you don't have the right people, you're not going to win.
Right, and thanks, Mark, for that perspective, because it's true. I mean, even if you only have a limited amount of resources, you have your resources, and when you watch other teams in similar positions make better deals and develop more players, then there's a criticism there. Ideally, though, I still would like to see them advance this payroll more than what he's done. There's no reason not to. Milwaukee, if you're going to use them, yeah, they spent $200 million more, fine, over that time. But they've made really good acquisitions, and they've also traded some guys who were good players to get more acquisitions. So they've done some smart things. You can operate under a smaller budget and still make a difference. 412-928-9370, we got Kevin in the North Hills. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jason tried to ask questions, but you know you're just going to get basically PR answers from these guys like Cherington and Nutting. But if he's not willing to spend now with Skeens, Jones, and then, maybe some of these young arms coming up, when is he planning on spending? I mean, it's just
right. This was the off season where you should have seen the beginning of a spending spree. You really should have.
Yeah, I mean,
now, having said that, if you tell me you're going to sign Tommy Pham and Nate Adam Frazier to your roster, which I disagreed with altogether, but if you did and you told me they were backups and backups only and they were off the bench guys, okay, I can understand. When they become prominent everyday players, and I know that, you know, Frazier's situation is more a result of an injury, but still, you got to have more depth there. And if you don't have starters and you use those guys as starters, that's a real problem.
Yeah, exactly. You would have to have everything go perfect with this team to just contend for a playoff spot. No injuries, everybody performing at a peak level, and that's just not plausible for any team.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the perspective there at 412-928-9370. Bill in Baldwin is up next. I want to go to you, Bill, and then we're going to go to the break. We have John, Jim, Chad, Steve, and Bob. So hang on, but Bill, go right ahead.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Bob. I want your top three Stanley Cup playoff, NBA playoff games so far this spring.
Oh, geez. Well, first of all, the Winnipeg game where they came back from the dead after having two pool goaltender situations. It looked like St. Louis would advance. That was a game seven, and they scored with 1.6 seconds left and then win in overtime. That was number one on my list, right? I don't think there's a better one than that.
Yeah, that's my number one. I agree.
You're asking me about two and three now. I would say last night's game was a good one, too, where Brad Marchand got it, and they needed it, the Florida Panthers, defending champs. So that was,
a good one. Did you see the Vegas Oilers game Thursday night?
Yes. That was a good one, too.
Great.
Yeah, that was good. And Vegas needed that, and it was Draisaitl who put a dagger in him. So that was a good one. As far as the NBA games.
You know, it was after they killed the 5-minute major in overtime.
That was stunning about that. You get a 5-minute major, and they killed it off. And I thought Vegas was too nonchalant with that, by the way. I thought they should have done more with it, but they didn't. As far as the NBA. Now I got to refresh my memory.
The Cleveland Indiana game too was unbelievable.
Well, how Indiana won, yes, it was crazy. I look at the Boston.
Cleveland didn't even have the ball in the last minute.
No, they didn't, and they had a lead in that game. And I'm surprised they let it get away. But you know, they got some players on Indiana's roster.
I think they're a much better team when all the starters play, as evidenced by last night.
And they're going to be back and healthy, and that makes me wonder about that. Trying to think of any Golden State games that. You're putting me on the spot as well. I got to remember some of the first round games. And at the current moment, I'm not, but there were some good ones in there. But appreciate it.
The Lakers T-Wolves overtime game was pretty good too.
Yeah, the Lakers were a big disappointment, but they still have Luka Doncic moving forward, and they can build around him. So, all right, thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. 412-928-9370. John, Jim, Chad, Rob, Rich, Steve, Rob, all coming up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show on a beautiful Saturday, Pittsburgh, PA. We'll be back in a flash. Want to remind you about the second annual Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and takes place on June 5th and 6th. This year, the broadcast will take place at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. You can donate now at 937thefan.com to help support local volunteer fire departments in this area. It's brought to you by Charles Leach Insurance, Firehouse Subs, True Fan Travel, People's Natural Gas, and Lewis Anthony Jewelers. 412-928-9370. Got a lot of people want to talk, so let's get back to it. Jim in Monroeville, you're next. Go ahead, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for taking my call, Bob.
Sure.
Yeah, you mentioned the Penguins draft, and I know it's not the most popular conversation for whatever reason, but I ultimately think that the Penguins' main focus should be the best goaltender that they can find, whether that be through this draft, which is very possible, or through a trade or a free agency or whatnot. But I think that should be the main focus for this team. I think we all know, if we've been following hockey long enough, and I know you have, a great goaltender can really make for a good team. We still have Sidney Crosby, but his time is limited. And so I think that should be their focus, a great goaltender. And I just want to throw a name out there from this draft, Joshua Ravensbergen. He's 6'4", 6'5", and very mobile for that size. And I think, that should be someone they should have their eyes on. Whether or not they'll be able to get to that guy, a whole different story. Just wanted to make one more comment about George Pickens. I like the trade. Would have loved to have seen him mature and grow with Metcalf for a year. But I think letting him go was the right move. Shows Tomlin is more focused on the team than focused on babysitting a wide receiver. And it gave us a third-round pick that helps us possibly move up in next year's draft to potentially get that franchise quarterback.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, well said. I think what happens is that third-round pick, it's hard to assess it now, but when you look you know, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years from now, you may say to yourself, well, that was wise in that it gave them ammunition. They got a guy they wanted. It all worked out, or not. That's how you analyze this kind of stuff. It's difficult to do it just be on its surface. A third round pick seems like, eh, okay, what are you going to do with that? But if it turns out to be enough that they could package one of these picks and move up to a point where they can get somebody and it turns out to be the right guy, because that's got to happen, number one. You have to have a franchise quarterback. It can't just be a bunch of guys coming in here and, you know, then you learn they're not good enough. They could be NFL backups or whatever. You need one of them. You got to figure out who that one is, and they have to be in a position to do it. So I think that's their emphasis right here. As far as seeing Pickett, you know, with Metcalf, I would have loved to have seen it. I really would have. I think that, you know, the question then becomes, is Arthur Smith used them properly both? And how does that affect your offense? It could be a massive change in their offense. And again, maybe I'm more of a believer in humankind and whether or not people can, you know, change a little bit. We've seen guys change over the years. They've had to. Could George Pickens be that guy? Can he put back, you know, all the stuff that's happened to him and learn from it and get better from it? I was hoping that I would say yes to that and see what he could do opposite Metcalf for his benefit and also the Steelers. It's beneficial for the Steelers because then you have a bona fide number two who can really help your offense. It's beneficial to him because he should get more play given the fact that double teams will go in Metcalf's direction most likely. So everybody around Metcalf should be better if he's here, and that includes him. And if he's looking to put together, you know, an 80-catch season and, you know, 7 to 10 touchdowns and make a lot of money, that's his way to do it. Now, he has the same opportunity in Dallas. You can gauge this by looking at the end of the year and what happens with Pickens in Dallas. And if it's a problem situation, he gets into issues and they don't get the production, and, you know, all of a sudden he's pulling the same crap that he's pulled here, then you'll say, yeah, that was the best move for the Steelers. But if he has a good year, I just wonder what that would have looked like here. That's why I thought after the draft and nothing happened, including them not drafting another wide receiver, that they're going to keep him. But it didn't work out that way. Let's go to John in Mount Washington, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, John?
Hi, Bob. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, two questions. Here's one. This is lighter note. Who do you think would be a good bench coach hire for Don Kelly? I thought somebody like John Wehner or even Neil Walker. What do you think?
I think someone who's been around for a long time. I don't have a specific name for you, John, but I would say somebody who's had a lot of experience, been around the game for a long, long time, and could get him through some of the things he's going to need some advice on. I don't know who I don't know who that is. Jeff Banister was a guy I used to love when he had that role before he became a manager. You know, people like that who have history, who can give you perspective on the fly.
I like Wehner. He'll call somebody out on the TV, you know, if you're listening.
Yeah, no, he's good. I don't know if he'd want to do that versus the job he has right now. Maybe so. Yeah. I know he likes television and radio, so, you know.
Yeah. Second, you going to watch Sid and Flurry reunite in the IIHF tournaments over there?
Yeah, that's kind of a B-level tournament in my view. But yeah, they want to continue to play, and certainly Crosby hasn't had an opportunity, you know, to play playoff hockey the last 3 years, so this is something he naturally wants to do. And team up with Fleury, yeah, absolutely. And Fleury just doesn't want to stop playing hockey. I think if you had, you know, down deep, he probably said, I would have just kept playing. But realistically, this was the right move for him. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. That should be an interesting tournament, but like I said, it's not going to be Olympic quality, at least in my view. Let's go to Bob in Monroeville. Hello, Bob. What's going on?
Hello, Bob. Great show as usual.
Appreciate you calling. Making it better.
Yeah, the draft of Will Howard. Okay, I really have to laugh at that because everybody said, oh, he's a sixth-round pick. Well, guess what? Brock Purdy was a seventh-round pick, last man drafted, and he's had a pretty good career. He's about to sign a $60 million contract.
Which I think is way too much, by the way. He's proven he's going to be their starter. That's fine, but that's a lot of money for him. I don't, you know, I feel weird about that.
I'm just saying Brock Purdy is the example.
No, you're right. But it's not. There are other examples. Dak Prescott, fourth round. You know about Brady, where he was drafted. The guy who was here last year, Russell Wilson, was a third round pick. I think Will Howard, and this is why I like him, and I'm not going to predict what it's going to be like for him. Nobody really knows. He may not get a shot here, but he might. And, you know, he is someone who's been at the highest level of college football against big-time opponents in big stage games. And he answered the call in those games during that last year's national championship run.
And he led the nation in passing, too.
Yeah, and he wants to be here. So I think there's a lot for that. I'm gonna wait and see, but I think it's a good pick for them. Good meaning I think he can be a productive guy. I'm not so sure about a franchise guy, but I would say the same about just about everyone. I think it's very tough to find those guys, and you don't know who they are necessarily. Like you said, Purdy, you never would have thought Purdy would be, and the Steelers passed on Purdy to go to Chris Oladokun. You know, so there are mistakes by every team out there.
Yeah, he's got the engine. I saw the John Gruden podcast, and he's got it. He's a winner.
Yeah, I think Gruden really likes him for sure. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. We'll see how it goes. He's going to get a chance in training camp. We'll see him in our preseason games that we do on KDKA. And this coming Wednesday is the NFL schedule release program. So we'll know who they're going to play, when they're going to play, and we'll also know what networks and you know how many times you'll see. I think somehow, some way, I think the NFL would like to know about Aaron Rodgers before they do this. And maybe that's one of the things we'll find out before this happens. If they know he's on – the Steelers get five primetime games anyway. But if he's on their roster, that's also must-see in many ways. And it may influence how many games they get or when they get those games. Chad in Pittsburgh, you're up next. What's up, Chad?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep. What's going on?
I'm going to take it back to baseball. So just all the talk about big market versus small market, and obviously it matters to a certain extent. But just watching the Yankee game last night, they got Ben Rice is a rookie – he was a 12th round draft pick in 2021.
Good player,
he would
yes.
be leading, he would be leading the Pirates in every offensive statistical category. Will Warren pitched 7 innings, 1 run. He was drafted in the 8th round of the 2021 draft. Now, that was the Henry Davis debacle draft. Also, Jason Dominguez was the international free agent signing, and Anthony Volpe was the number one pick. So, like almost half their team was drafted and developed, and they're picking in the late first round every
that's
year.
A great point, Chad, because it tells you everybody has the misnomer that they just go out and spend money, which they do, but they also make trades to acquire assets and then trade some of those. They have a lot of people who do well in their system for being a team that spends as much money as they do. Same is true with the Dodgers.
You can look around the league and say that about every team except maybe Colorado, Pittsburgh, and White Sox. And the White Sox are probably, and I don't even give Charrington credit for Joey Bart, because they talked for 2 years about how catching was going to be a strength because of Davis and Endy, and then they had to go dumpster diving to find Bart, and luckily it worked out. But it's hard to give them credit for that because the two people they had traded for and drafted are complete non-factors.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, Chad. Thanks. And that's a good point. Thanks. But they got him, and he's done well here, so I have to give him credit from that point of view, but I get what you're saying. Bob in Aspinwall joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Bob, how are you?
Good. Thank you.
Bob, everybody talks about Nutting and the money he spends on the major league roster, or more accurately, doesn't spend. And that's the money everybody sees. I think the problem with this team is the money that they don't spend, because they are not getting the best instruction in the minor leagues. They can't evaluate talent. They can't develop talent. And I think it's because Nutting cuts every corner at the major league level, and he does the same thing in the minors.
Could very well be true. I haven't done a deep enough dive into what those guys are doing, but all you do is you look at the results, and from a results-based situation, you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to. If the guys are worthy of being drafted, then it's your job as an organization to get the most out of them, and so far they just haven't done that. So that's a bad reflection of not only the GM and the owner, but everyone underneath them, and I think they're trying to make some changes now, but you got to spend. I mean, that's the way it goes. You can tell me, even international spending, I'd like to see more of that. There are players that come over here every year that are available, and the Pirates never seem to get one. So that all of it has to be improved.
Well, and every year in both leagues, you see guys who come up. There's probably 5 in each league every year who are 20 or 21 or 22 and have huge years. And when the Pirates bring guys up, they're 26 and 27. Like, they can't right. develop talent. They
well, well, the next layer of it, Rob, thanks for the call, will be Tamar Johnson, who's struggling a little bit in Double A, and, you know, he's 21, you know, but still, you want to see him fast track this. And Connor Griffin, the guy who they chose number one this year in the draft, they need him to be the real player, and hopefully he's fast-tracking into the majors. We got to take a break here. We have Rich Bryan in Brookline. We have Lou in Hermitage and Jeff in Imperial all coming up when we continue. It's a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Josh Rountree coming up here at the top of the hour. If you want to talk U.S. Open golf, preps, he's a good man to do it with in his new position with the Western – Josh, put it on. What is your official title? Because I never get this right, but I know you like
okay.
the job.
Western I'm the director of communications for the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association.
So, and you do a lot of good things, and you get an opportunity to do a lot of good things as a result of it, too. So you can tell people about your round and what it's like, and it is a really interesting test of golf.
Bob, I've never woken up the day after a round of golf and had my entire body
hurt. I know how that feels.
I got out of bed and I felt like I was probably 30 to 40 years older than I actually am when I stood up out of bed, and it was a painful few hours there in the morning the next day. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you get in the rough. You got to stay out of the rough. You can break your wrist
in
that rough.
I mean, it's like chopping wood.
It is.
It's literally like chopping wood.
Josh, we'll be coming up here at the top of the hour. In the meantime, let's rattle through some calls here, beginning with Brian in Brookline. Go ahead, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Great. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So I have two questions. I'll make them really, really quick. So George Pickens, I'm so glad we got rid of him. He wasn't cut out to be a part of this team. Since he came in the league, he reminded me a lot of Randy Moss when Randy Moss first got here. Took plays off, played when he wanted to play, didn't run, sell the play. It's the film is there. Everybody could see it. So he didn't want to be here. So he wasn't a cancer. But I think last year he took plays off in games. He just disappeared.
Yes, totally he did. He just jogged when he wasn't involved as a receiver. He just didn't. You're supposed to still sell it. Like you are involved. He didn't do that.
So that's one. I'm glad. So my next point is, like, there's other receivers and running backs like Nick Chubb. I understand he had but Tomlin loved him. J.K. Dobbins, Gabe Davis, other receivers out there. The Steelers must know a lot more than we know because they're not interested in Nick Chubb at all. And
you mean Mr. Chubb?
Yes, Mr. Chubber. I just don't – can you answer that as best you could? Why not Nick Chubb or J.K. Dobbins?
I think they went with a younger guy in Johnson from Iowa, and they just felt it was the best move, and they don't need they have Jaylen Warren. I think Chubb still is not the same runner since his surgery. That was kind of gruesome injury he sustained with that collision with Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think he's made a determination that those guys don't have much tread on the tire, so they're moving in another direction.
Is your reason the same with, like, the receivers? Like,
Dobbins
Davis just got cut?
Yeah, maybe so. Dobbins would be more interesting to me than Chubb, only because, again, I think Chubb, great runner, but I think that injury took so much out of him. Gabe Davis, I don't know what to make of. I saw his performance in Jacksonville largely, and it was not very good, and they decided to move on from him. And you never know what you're going to get. I don't know who's a legitimate number two. I think a guy who can be that is Keenan Allen, if they want to go in that direction. There are other veterans out there. I'm not so sure if they're going to be as good as George Pickens potentially could have been here. And there was a part of me, like I said, I wanted to see what that would look like opposite Metcalf and what it would do to the rest of the offense. It should create much more opportunity for others as well and more space. So thanks, man. Appreciate the call. We're going to go out to Jeff in Imperial now. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Bob. Two quick questions for you. Why won't Nutting sell the team? And is there any pressure outside of the media or the fans that could make this happen?
No. And
Major League Baseball?
I don't. Maybe they can, but I don't think they're going to do it. He has a good relationship with the current commissioner. It's money, money, money. His value of the franchise is from where he bought it to where it is, and it's only going to get better. It may not move up by billions in a short amount of time, but it's going to move up enough that, again, he's very good at making money. He's a good businessman. But business in baseball is a little bit different. I know that.
We're not going to win.
But I don't think you'll ever see him sell it. He's made comments before that he was going to keep it in his family. So, I don't know.
Maybe we need an Elon Musk to step in. What do you think?
Again, it has to be sold before someone can step in. if he's not selling it.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
Bob.
I'm going to move. Yeah, appreciate your call. Rich in Forest Hills, make it quick, please. We're going to get Lou and Doug after this. Hey, Rich.
The best way to avoid a huge tax bill is not to sell the asset.
That's another good point. That's another good point. The tax bill on that would come due pretty quick, and it's a lot of money, a couple hundred million dollars.
I can't stand Nutting, but if he should prove how stupid he is, if he'd have spent twice as much as he spent on Pham and Frazier to get a quality major league at bat, the trickle-down effect in this lineup would have been such that it would have been closer to 500, and my Aunt Tilly wouldn't be out with a pitchfork to take him out. The other thing is, one of your earlier callers alluded to, after year six of a rebuild, you have to dumpster dive to replace people on your roster. That speaks volumes about Charrington's work. And, the thing about Pickens is I hope he does well in Dallas, or else the Steelers will never be able to trade another wide receiver. you know, what, I mean, I don't understand why teams would trade for a Steeler wide receiver.
Yeah, the history suggests, Rich, that a lot of those guys, they all go backwards. They absolutely do. Yeah. Ever since they leave here, they do. Thank you for the call, Rich. I'm going to move along to Lou in Hermitage. Hey, Lou.
I've been looking at that for months.
Lee.
The road in the garden.
Lou.
I'm going to wait if you could.
I think your wife's unhappy. She's sounding unhappy. It's Mother's Day, Lou. You got to do better. Let's go. Doug in Daytona Beach, you're going to follow that call, Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. I got a couple questions for you here. And NIL money. What did the volleyball players at Pitt pull in?
I don't have an answer, Josh. Josh Rountree does play-by-play for a lot of their games. So I don't know, Josh. Do you have an answer for that for Doug?
I don't. No.
I don't know. It's certainly not what football or basketball would make. I know that. I don't know what it would be.
Oh, I know that.
Some of the top programs, though, Texas and so forth, they're dropping big money on volleyball.
Well, and Pitt
players.
Is a big program.
Yeah.
They're one of the best in the country now.
Hundreds of thousands on volleyball players. I've heard of some places in the country. Yeah. I don't know what Pitt's at, though.
Anything else, Doug, before we go?
Yes. Number two, can you get me tickets to the Savannah Bananas when they come into Pittsburgh?
One of the hottest tickets in the country, right? Every time. No, the answer is no. I don't know anyone from the Savannah Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. I hope you get them. What is it about that that's such a – it's just a unique way of doing things. And it's almost like globetrotters on a baseball field.
They've taken viralness, viral nature of our society and turned it into an entire – sport, a league, basically. I mean,
I saw them down at Raymond James. Not, I didn't see
it,
them.
It is
I watched.
Globetrotter-esque.
It is. And, and they had like 80,000 people there, whatever it was. I thought, to watch this, but I guess they're entertained by it.
Was it Clemson? Clemson sold out Clemson Stadium. I mean, they're getting 90,000 people to show up.
When are they coming
watch.
Here? Just because I haven't really paid enough attention.
I don't know.
Joel, do you know that? The Savannah Bananas?
I hadn't even heard that they are coming here.
I thought they were. I mean, I don't know that for sure. But you can find that out on your program because I'm running out of time here. Do you have an answer? Do you see it?
I'm looking for
okay.
it.
Who would have thought?
I think I'm seeing late August around that.
August
I think.
29th Where? And 30th at PNC Park.
At PNC Park. Wow. I bet you it'll be a sellout.
Crowd of the year?
Yeah, probably biggest crowd of the year. Yeah. Well, let's see. On that note, it's going to wrap it up. Lou and Hermitage, I hope you do better over there and hope everything's under control. Call us again next week. Josh.
Tough look for Lou today.
tough look
for Lou.
And Josh will be here until 3 o'clock when the North Shore Tavern leadoff show takes place with Dan Zangrilli. Thank you to Joel Nelson. Thank you to everyone who called in. Happy Mother's Day to all the great women up there who've been such unsung heroes in our lives. We appreciate you. And we'll do it again next Saturday. In the meantime, Josh, have a great show. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. We'll see you next Saturday. Up next, it's Josh Rountree.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.